Welcome to Corner of the Galaxy, the show that talks 100% LA Galaxy soccer. We're glad you could join us. Now it's time to sit back and relax as your hosts navigate through the twisting, turning, but never boring world of the five-time MLS Cup champion, LA Galaxy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm your host, Josh Gessman. Miss Wendy Thomas is taking another break. Coming back from Germany's hard work, she got stacked up at work a little bit. That's fine. But I'm here to guide you through the next 60 minutes of LA Galaxy talk. We're going to definitely be looking for your calls. Lots of good stuff coming up. We also will be joined by LA Galaxy defender Nathan Smith coming up in our center segment. So look forward to that as well, as we had a good little talk with Nate. All right, the LA Galaxy are 2-0 victors over the Montreal Impact. I guess that's where we have to start. That's a good place to start for the LA Galaxy, who needed a win, who have now helped themselves out a tremendous amount by relieving some of the pressure that they were putting on themselves, that the fans were putting on the coaches and players, that the league was putting on them by having such a poor start to the season. And what we found from the LA Galaxy is that they were able to at least ring the bell this time. They were able to meet the challenge. Lots of people will say, hey, Josh, it was a 10-man Montreal team. How excited can I really get? This game was different than the RSL game. I think the RSL game realistically comes down to Kyle Beckerman's red card, his two yellow cards in the first half, and his red card that ultimately saw him off. The LA Galaxy were losing at that point. It was 1-0. RSL had most of the momentum, and the LA Galaxy looked like they were realistically just holding on. All right, that wasn't the case in this particular game. All right, the LA Galaxy went up early. They went up 1-0 early on a fully stacked 11-man Montreal team. Granted, a Montreal team that was a little bit tired, a little bit wary after traveling for their third straight home game. They looked like they'd probably had too much of that. And so with all those things that sort of gathered together, the LA Galaxy went up 1-0. That was good. It was the red card in the second half. Did it affect the play? Absolutely it affected the play. Would it have changed the outcome? Your guess is as good as mine. Clearly, you look at what happened in Vancouver with the LA Galaxy going up and then seeing them, concede multiple goals, basically, to get back and lose 4-2. So, I mean, anything can affect the outcome of the game. That was cute. Anything can affect the income of the LA Galaxy, too. The outcome of game. But in this case, in the Montreal game, myself, at least, felt like this was a positive step forward. I think Kurt Anolfo saw it as basically a payoff of good soccer being played at the appropriate pace in the appropriate manner for, realistically 90 minutes. And that's a good thing. That's a step in the right direction for the Galaxy. That's what you want to see. So that's where we're at with the LA Galaxy. That's where we have to start whenever we look at what they were able to accomplish against the Montreal Impact, all right? The starting lineup for the LA Galaxy, no surprises, or were there surprises? Was anybody surprised to see Diop in goal? I know I was surprised to see Diop in goal. I'm pretty sure I went on this show last week, and granted, last week we had the power outage, we had no internet, here at the studio, and I'm pretty sure I went on this show, granted it was recorded, and said there is no way that Clément Diop is starting this game after his debacle in Vancouver. That's what I said. And then who starts in goal is Clément Diop. All right, so it just goes to show you how much I know. There were also maybe some question marks about João Pedro starting in midfield as well. I was never as questioning that, and I still don't question that, going into the game against Orlando. I think that João Pedro is going to be the starter for the foreseeable future. He's going to try to work out the kinks, and hopefully the LA Galaxy can get something out of a guy they paid a lot of money for, are paying a lot of money in TAM. And is at 23 years old, a guy who realistically could be with this team for a long time and that they need to perform. So that's what you got. You got Diop in goal. You got Nathan Smith at right back. You got Daniel Stairs in the center with Yella Van Damme. You had Ashley Cole out on the left. Alisson Drini, Joao Pedro, Jones, and Boateng in the midfield. And then Dos Santos and Giassi Zardes. Giassi Zardes getting his first start since August 27th. All right, first start since August 27th. Giassi Zardes gets in there. It was good to see him. I don't know about you. I thought Giassi Zardes looked like a guy who was in shape and looked like a guy who was ready to go and ready to be a factor in this game. And you certainly saw that Giovanni Dos Santos seemed to perk up for this game, which is a good thing. Listen, Gio has been missing, all right? You can make all the jokes you want, but the LA Galaxy's top paid player, the guy who's the designated player, the guy who the front office, Chris Klein and Pete Vainas and Kurt Anolfo by association there, have all said the LA Galaxy are building around Giovanni Dos Santos. And so far, Giovanni Dos Santos has not showed up in any game. He did better in this game. I think maybe he was a little unlucky, in fact, at times. But up to a certain point, you need to see more from him. He should be the shining star on this field for the LA Galaxy. He should be the guy who, whenever the Galaxy are down, take over a game. We haven't seen that from him in 2017. But maybe this was, again, a step in the right direction. His chemistry with Zardes, for me, is a lot better than it was with McBean. I also thought Giovanni Dos Santos was possibly the most active I have seen him in a game up to this point, this early in the season. So, I mean, we have to take those as positives when we look at what this team did. This team was very good throughout all phases of the game against the Montreal Impact. Ramon Alessandrini is a man. All right, he comes in and absolutely takes over that game. What a great job by Ramon Alessandrini. Emmanuel Boateng is a man playing against boys sometimes. It looks that way. Emmanuel Boateng can turn on like this third or fourth gear that he has. He's just sort of coasting along, and all of a sudden he decides to like drop the hammer, and he just runs by anybody who has. And the LA Galaxy are learning to use that to their advantage. You're learning to create through Boateng. This is an interesting thing. Somebody asked me on another show, you know, and I think it was on the Monday show with LA Times reporter Kevin Baxter, is, are the LA Galaxy creating, are they different because they're creating from the outside and working in, opposed to working from the inside in that number 10 position, a place where, you know, Gerard was supposed to be, or Marcelo Sarvas, or, you know, Juninho, some of those guys in the midfield, are they creating outside of that, where they used to create from the midfield? And the answer is yes right now. Ramon Alessandrini, although he loves to cut inside, is stretching that field wide. Emmanuel Boateng is stretching that field wide. Ashley Cole is a major part of this offense. Nathan Smith on the right side is a major part of this offense. You look at all of these things, and the way the LA Galaxy are scoring goals right now is through Emmanuel Boateng, through Ramon Alessandrini. You get Zardes involved now and in that outside-in type of thing, and you can start to see where this goes. And I think the LA Galaxy did. Again, scoring early in this game. 15th minute, Ramon Alessandrini, created by Emmanuel Boateng. Boateng stops at the top of the box, basically cuts inside, finds Alessandrini, who, surprise, surprise, is in the center of the field. All right, remember when we had a problem with Robbie Keane taking up Giovanni Dos Santos' spots? Ramon Alessandrini certainly seems to like the center of the field. Is that going to push Gio out of his position? Are we going to have the same discussion again? Because people are taking other people. I'll tell you right now, Ramon, have at it. Because if Gio's not going to be there, if he's not going to take it over, then you know what? You need to be there to score the goal. So Ramon Alessandrini gets a goal in the 15th minute. You know the 74th minute goal by Jermaine Jones. A wonderful goal. A good pass by Giassi Zardes, regardless of what the highlights and the Montreal announcers think. Zardes riding that ball until he could give a pass off to Jermaine Jones. Jones had a good game for me. There aren't too many players on this field who didn't make a significant improvement. Joao Pedro, maybe. Maybe he's one that didn't make a significant improvement. Maybe he did make an improvement, though. Maybe he has so far to go with the way he's been playing, especially against Vancouver. Coming into this Montreal game, he needed to show something. Did he show enough? No, not for me. Does that mean he doesn't start against Orlando? I don't think that's the case. I think he starts. I don't think he's done enough to realistically play himself out of a position. And I know there's people who are throwing things at the radio or the computer or wherever you're listening. But look at who you have to replace. Although I think Bajio Husidic did a better job than Joao Pedro coming in, you're not going to get the same work rate that you do out of Bajio Husidic that you do out of Joao Pedro. I mean, just the age difference alone sort of makes that a thing, all right? And you want, listen, if you're a Galaxy fan, you do not want to pull the plug on this experiment yet. You paid too much money. You spent too much time. to have this fail right now is Joao Pedro. Give him time. 23 years old, new city, new team, new haircut. I don't know. I don't think that's new. That's ridiculous all on its own face. But I think he can get there. It's not going to be quick, all right? It's not going to be Roman Alessandrini. And quite honestly, Alessandrini has to prove that what we saw against Montreal is what we're going to get every single game as well. All right, there's lots of stuff that definitely is good out of this game. This is the positive step you needed. This was the chemistry builder that you needed going into a very difficult away game. 2,200 miles the LA Galaxy will have to travel from Los Angeles to Orlando across three time zones. All right, all this stuff is difficult. All right, let's see. We got a call. 805, who's this?
Josh, this is Scott.
Hey, Scott, how's it going, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
I
have a quick question for you about this past game.
Yes.
So outside of Rodgers and Legette, you would say that was our 100% A-plus lineup, right?
I think you could argue about Rowe and Diop, but yes, I'll certainly entertain that.
Okay. So I'm looking at the bench. You have seven guys on the bench. You have the backup goalie, whoever that will be. You have Garcia, Romney, who's finished. So that's four. That leaves three guys, the three offensive guys. And the three offensive guys on our bench are Jamison, Villarreal, and McBean. So if we were down 2-0 in the 75th minute and a couple guys were lagging or tired, you're looking at our bench to one of those three guys to be the game-changing difference maker. And there's no one else coming on the horizon until at least the summer transfer window.
Right.
So how do you personally feel that is the extent of our offensive threat coming off of the bench?
Well, I mean, you look at it this way, Scott. It's the same as it's been realistically from when it started. Obviously, Legette getting hurt makes that even shallower. You had Boateng coming off the bench, which is that game-changing person that you realistically would like to see coming off. If I had my choice right now, I would still want Emmanuel Boateng coming off the bench with Sebastian Legette still being in the starting lineup, right? I think everybody would. I think that's even though you've seen how great Emmanuel Boateng has been, Scott, you understand that Boateng has that game-changing speed and persona of a super sub, of a sub to come on and really test the other team, right?
But that's not an option anymore.
It's not.
That's no longer an option this season. So I'm saying the personnel we have now, I mean, what's the solution?
There is no solution.
Are you really going to give the keys to Jose Villarreal?
There is no solution. There is no solution. What if you wanted the solution, then you had to have a deeper team to start the season with. We knew this. This isn't a new question. This isn't a new issue. The LA Galaxy are shallow. I said it from the very beginning. They're going to struggle with depth. They still struggle with depth. You know what they have, though, that's okay right now? Is an okay starting lineup. They have some difference makers that start. And so you have to hope, as LA Galaxy fans, Scott, you have to hope that the Galaxy can do well enough with their starters that they don't have to rely on those substitutes to come in and be quote-unquote game changers, right?
If there's one more long-term injury, we're kind of screwed unless one of those three kids turns into the national team player we all thought they would be at some point in their teenage years.
Well, I mean, realistically, you already had one miracle come across the docket here with Nathan Smith. I think realistically being able to hold up that right back role for you without much of an argument from anybody. So you had one miracle. Can you get another one? I don't know. I mean, who is it? Is it Raul Mendiola? You know, I don't think it's Jose Villarreal. We've seen him so many times. You know, I can't get excited about a goal against Vancouver from what, 2014, 2013, something like that. I can't get excited about that anymore.
What about Jamison? Because I'm starting to agree with you on Villarreal. Mendiola didn't look great from Los Dos this past weekend. I don't know if like Zubac or the other forward dude is ready on Los Dos. But what about Jamison? Do you think he's going to get extended minutes or extended look this year?
I think he's going to have to because he is a midfielder with speed. He is a dynamic presence. His ability to handle the physicality of Major League Soccer is something that's still in the air, obviously, with all of his concussions. So, yeah, I mean, he is realistically one of your best game-changing sort of options. Jack McBean is always going to be the guy who comes off the bench now and is able to kill the game off in sort of that forward Alan Gordon holding position. Now, can he be the Gordon game-changing player?
No.
And we haven't seen that yet. Well, he's going to get a chance at it, Scott. I guarantee that. Because nobody else is coming off the field for Jossie Zardes or Giovanni Dos Santos. Or if they need another forward, I know the first person off the bench right now, and that's Jack McBean. So if they are down, Jack McBean's coming off the bench to take in that position. And so we'll have to see. The kid was a phenom in USL. Is he a, as my good friend Dave Denholm says, is he trapped somewhere between USL, so second division soccer, and first division soccer? Is he like a two-plus guy, a division two-plus guy? Can he find that? You know, I have to imagine that the ease at which he tore apart USL has to translate to something eventually. So I think I'm not willing to write him off. But anyway, no, Scott, I mean, you're right. It always comes down to if there's any more injuries, clearly the LA Galaxy are going to suffer. There's no depth. There has been no depth. It is the one glaring issue that it above anything else that happened in the offseason is the LA Galaxy had zero depth coming into the season. And you're seeing that it's untested depth. We always had bodies, right, Scott? There's people in those positions. But who are you excited to see?
We don't know yet. This is the time. If there ever was a time for those three kids, those are like the original, outside Tristan Bowen, those are the three original, and Zardes, because he was different, but those were the three original academy kids that have come through the system. If they want to have a career with the Galaxy, this is the year that they have to step up and prove that they belong in this roster. They're going to get plenty of opportunities. So I'm hoping that they can do that. But so far, not one of them, of the three, and I'm including McBean in that three, have really demonstrated that. Now, Jameson's only had 15 minutes total, but I don't know. I'm starting to get a little worried about that.
Well, I think it's something that should be in the back of your head constantly throughout this entire season until at least the summer comes and the Galaxy add, you know, three or four depth players. I mean, is that what we're looking for at the summertime? Because
that's a lot.
it's a ton, right? And you look at the roster and whether the roster can even handle that. Granted, I think you opened up a roster position with Dan Kennedy retiring that we're going to talk about. You might open up another roster spot with Robbie Rogers being, I don't know that he's ever going to make it back. So if that happens, then, you know, there's two roster spots that you now have available without doing all that much. So it's all, hey, all a question mark right now. I mean, realistically, the Galaxy said that, Scott, that they were going to go after what they needed in the summertime. And right now, my needs outpace the ability to actually, like, have roster spots for everybody. So, you know, it's up in the air. All right, Scott, I'm going to let you go, buddy. Thanks for calling, all right?
Thanks, Josh.
All right, there we go, Scott, my good friend Scott. Always calling in, always good. But yeah, so listen, I wanted to go over some audio that we got, all right? Some post-game audio from Kurt Anolfo and Roman Alessandrini, some interesting things that they had to say after the game. Let's first start with Mr. Kurt Anolfo. Here are his general thoughts on his 2-0 win over the Montreal Impact.
Yeah, I mean, there's no two ways about it. You know, it's like last week. If we defended better for 1 minute, this week would have been much different because we would have been 2-2 going into this game. You know, and that's this is a hard league, and you know, the difference between winning and losing is very slight. It's a play or two, and last week it was 1 minute. A 1 minute lapse where we just blew the game. And so now getting this win today, you know, gives confidence. I mean, I thought we worked extremely hard. I thought we moved the ball well. I thought we were dangerous the entire game. And that's, you know, two games in a row where I feel like we were very dangerous going forward. And so those are positive signs. But we know nothing comes easy, and we just got to keep improving and keep getting better and keep building on this and the momentum that we just gained from this winning this game.
All right, Kurt Anolfo there, and he continues with how they started the game, starting the game well and doing a good job.
We did a good job. We started the game well. We were, you know, I thought dangerous and you know, we played in their end and we started the right way.
All right, and then there was a lot of talk about Nathan Smith in the press box. You're going to hear from Nathan Smith coming up in just a couple minutes, but let's hear Kurt Anolfo's take on how Nathan Smith did in this game and just his general progression going from LA Galaxy 2 and then now into the LA Galaxy.
Excellent. I thought he had a really good performance. It's great to see, you know, a young player that just played 1 year with Galaxy 2, gets his opportunity, and look what he's done with it. It's I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm really pleased with his performance and how he's played and just stepped into that situation like it's no big deal. He'll continue to get better.
Hopefully he will. And again, we're going to hear from him in just a couple minutes. But now my favorite quote of the night. I don't know if any of you are NFL fans. I remember if you remember a certain coach after a game. They are who we thought they were. I think it was that Denny Green for the Arizona Cardinals. I believe that was correct. My NFL knowledge, not the best in the world. But here is Kurt Arnolfo's Denny Green moment. And I enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it too. Here he is talking about Alessandrini.
Alessandrini is exactly what we thought he would be. I mean, he's just he's a great player. He can beat you on the dribble. He can play make. He can score. He can create goals. But the thing that's difficult for people that are on the outside looking in is that he's only been with us 5 weeks. So if he was with us from day one in preseason, we probably have more points for sure. I don't know how many, but. You know, he came in late because there's the, you know, it's he was signed later, and then it takes time to get the work visa, and it just takes time for people to adjust. But he's just going to keep getting better. He is just quality, and his work ethic on top of it just, you know, makes him an exciting player to watch and a great asset for a coach.
All right, there we go. So Kurt Arnolfo after the LA Galaxy's 2-0 win over the Montreal Impact. Some good things to say about Nathan Smith, Ramon Alessandrini. He talked a whole bunch about other players as well. I cut it down for you. But now let's hear from Ramon Alessandrini, a guy who maybe doesn't get as much attention in terms of hearing sound bites. The English is still a work in progress, but he's actually a lot better than I think he gives himself credit for. So let's hear from Ramon after the game on how he played and how the team played.
Yeah, tonight it's a good win because after Vancouver, it was a little bit difficult. It was a hard week. We have to speak. We need to speak. And the most important tonight, it's the result. After three defeats, it's very bad for the group, for the team, because we have really good team, but. We have some new player, new staff, so we need to get used. We need to work hard together, and after that, we need to win 2 or 3 wins a row to come back on the top.
All right, there is his first speaking role there for Ramon Alessandrini. Like I said, I think he gives himself way too much of a hard time about his English. Easy to understand. Here he is talking about how he got moving to LA and how he's getting settled and how that's helped him.
Yeah, it was a little bit difficult because I changed my life. I changed the country. I changed the team. So I don't think about after this 3 goals and 2 assists. It's nice for me. It's very, very good for me. But I'm here to give assist, to score. But the most important is the win. And tonight, all the team play good. And after that, we win the game. So it's the most important for me.
All right, and we've certainly seen a development of some chemistry between Ramon Alessandrini and Emmanuel Boateng. Alessandrini, 3 goals, 2 assists in the last 2 games there. He's had a bunch to do with Emmanuel Boateng. Just the two guys really seem to just be on the same page together, and he was asked about that, and if you ever wanted to hear some guys have some fun with some stuff, here is Ramon Alessandrini talking about Emmanuel Boateng.
Yeah, Boateng, it's really a good player. When I see him with the ball, I run because I know he runs very fast and he gives some good ball. And after the game, he told me, "Okay, each assist, each goal, you give me money." So it's okay. At the end of the season, if he give me some good assist. Yeah, I know. It's a good player, good guy. Everybody is good here. We are, the team had a good mentality, so it's nice for me.
Emmanuel Boateng looking to supplement his income there by dishing it up to Roman Alessandrini. And Roman seems like he is 100% on board with that as well. So a little fun in the locker room. Again, a weight lifted off the shoulder of these players. They're more calm now. They said Jermaine Jones was talking about how there's a little less pressure going to Orlando now, but also that pressure is sometimes a good thing, right? Pressure sometimes makes you perform, and that's what happened. These guys were under pressure, and they came out and they performed. It was a 10-man win. Montreal didn't have their full complement of players. There's lots of excuses you can make for this, but from the eye point, when you look at this, when you watch this game, this was a different game. They played with more confidence. All right? They were getting it going. So the LA Galaxy, 2-0 winners over the Montreal Impact, and now they look towards a game against Orlando coming up on Saturday. A difficult road trip. We're going to talk about that, of course. But first, what we're going to do is whenever we get back, we're going to be joined by LA Galaxy defender Nathan Smith. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Ready for some more Corner of the Galaxy? Don't forget to head over to the website for all the latest podcasts, news, and more. Visit us online at cornerofthegalaxy.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Very honored and lucky to catch up with our next guest who has come in at the beginning of the season and filled a hole in the LA Galaxy's defense and done a very good job at it. Please welcome to the show for the very first time, Nathan Smith. Nate, thanks for stopping by, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Josh.
You know, I have to imagine, Nate, that it's been a little bit of a whirlwind for you. What have the last couple of months been like for you? You signed with the senior team. Now you are a pretty much a locked-in starter. How do you look back on the last couple of months?
As a blessing. It's honestly, I'm really grateful for the opportunity the club's given me to be able to play with the second team last year and then give me my chance with the first team this year.
I mean, is it a big transition for you? I have to imagine you go from college to LA Galaxy 2, now up to the senior team in the LA Galaxy. You know, what's the major difference between all of these steps? Have you noticed it at all, or have you taken it in stride?
I think I've taken it in stride, but I'd say the biggest difference is just the quality of players from 18 or from 28 to 1 is the difference from like practice every day with these with the guys like Ashley and Gio and Romain, and then playing games against guys like, you know, Fernando Adi or Diego Laveri.
Yeah, I mean, talk to me a little bit about Fernando Adi. The guy's a skyscraper. He's huge. What do you have to do? Obviously, I'm not going to say you're the tallest guy in the world. Don't worry, I'm not the tallest guy in the world either. But you know, what goes through your mind when you have to face somebody like him?
Just to make sure that I'm on the little things to take my advantage of going against someone that's obviously bigger and stronger than me.
And how much have the rest of the guys around you helped you? You talk about Daniel Stairs obviously playing right next to you. You got Yella next to him, and then you have Ashley Cole. I mean, you have two very experienced defenders, and one of them is possibly one of the greatest defenders in the last generation with Ashley Cole. How much have you learned from those guys?
Oh, yeah, they're great. They help me so much with just everyday things to, you know, communication, my positioning. So having them is helps me tremendously and makes me look a lot better by having them next to me.
You go, we've looked at you, we've seen your game, obviously, for most of us who don't get to watch LA Galaxy 2 games all the time last year, although I did and definitely saw you playing. You know, what has been sort of the growth of your game from LA Galaxy 2 to LA Galaxy? What have you seen as something that has developed from last year to this year?
I think the thing that I've developed from this game, playing with the second team last year, experience is a huge part of it, and just my precision on the ball. I think I've gotten a lot sharper from playing a year round, whereas in the college game I was only playing for 3 months at a time, and then we'd have to take a break. So just playing for 11 months nonstop just got me a lot sharper.
You left UCLA after your junior year, I think I have that right. What was sort of the impetus of that? Why make that decision then to leave UCLA and join LA Galaxy 2?
I thought it was the right time. I talked with Yovan, and I thought it was the right time for me to develop as a player and get in the right environment. It was a good environment at UCLA, but it just wasn't the day-to-day professional environment.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's obviously you talked about that and getting the experience, the everyday play. Kurt Rinaldo was a big fan of that. Whenever I used to talk to him at LA Galaxy 2, he used to say, you know, you get these guys that come out of college, or, you know, you get them from the academy team, and now they have to play, you know, in a man's league. You have to show up every day. It's a profession that you're trying to create and sort of cultivate from these players. You think that that's what happened, and obviously you got to work with Kurt at LA Galaxy 2. Do you think that's helped you moving forward now, with him being the senior team coach and you being on the senior team?
Yeah, definitely. It was huge last year having Kurt as my coach, and then this year having him as my coach as well. The trust is there between us, and I understand how he wants the game to be played, so I can just go out there and have fun and play.
You know, you showed some skill out there as well. I know a lot of listeners would yell at me if I didn't ask you about your skill and sort of your confidence. I mean, you can see the skill on the ball. You're having fun out there. I mean, it looks like you're smiling on it when you're not being pushed into the sideboards. I guess it should be. It looks like you've been having a lot of fun out there. Where does this confidence come? Where does this skill sort of play into your game?
The guys on my team. On the team give me all the confidence in the world. But I mean, Kurt believes in me, so it just allows me to go out there and be confident.
What's an off date for you, Nate? What do you like to do for fun when you're not playing soccer for the LA Galaxy?
Well, right now, still going to school, so it's not too fun, but I'm probably read a couple chapters of a book or do some homework.
That doesn't sound like that much fun. I understand. Yeah, I understand. Finishing up school, that's an important part of it. And clearly, you know, I'm sure you're looking forward to the day when you get to be 100% a professional soccer player and don't have to be a student anymore. But realistically, what is it that you need to see that needs to get better from your game right now? What is one thing that you're focusing on?
I think I focus on 1v1 defending. I think if I can be better and win my battle each game, it helps position the team win. And if I'm continue to just be good and complete my pass on the ball.
We've seen you at left back. I'm sorry. I said we were going to see you at left back. We've seen you at right back. Which is your better position? Which one do you prefer? Or do you care?
To be honest, I don't. I'm dominantly right-footed. But I played a decent amount of left back when I was in the academy.
Right.
I played left back recently, and at UCLA, I had a couple games at left back. So either side I'm comfortable with, but my right foot's a little stronger than my left, so I'd say right side.
Yeah, right side seems to be sort of a good fit for you there. At least that's what it looks like. You have a really long road trip coming up. Obviously, the LA Galaxy facing off against Orlando on Saturday. That's a noon p.m. kickoff time. You know, it's a nationally televised game. What do you have to do first of all? You know, what are you learning about cross-country road trips, and what you have to do to prepare for that?
I think just take each day really serious. A lot of water and hydration, and just continue to eat the right things and just prepare for the game mentally as we go on the flight and as the days come.
You know, a lot of stuff is made about the LA Galaxy and the nutritional program they've had. I wonder, for a young player like you, obviously you've been in some professional environments, and I certainly don't want to minimize that, but how important is it now? You have the nutritionist with LA Galaxy 2, with LA Galaxy, you're getting that information. How much of that do you take to heart? How much have you learned from just having those people around?
I learned a lot. I mean, I know that diet is a huge factor in remaining healthy and staying on the field. So I take all that our nutritionists have to say to heart and try to follow that as strictly as I can.
Do they make you eat any weird things, though? Like, are they like, this is the best thing for you? Is there anything that comes to mind whenever I say, do they make you eat weird things?
No, I wouldn't say they make us eat anything too weird.
That's no
fun. Pretty standard.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's no fun, Nate. You probably eat bananas and stuff. I was hoping there would be like some magic fruit that we could all hear that you say that you eat that gives you all the power to be a defender, and then we could all take it and be a defender. But I don't think that's gonna happen.
No, I mean, I just started beet juice.
Beet juice.
Yeah, I've been drinking that pretty frequently now. That would be the weirdest thing.
How does that taste?
You know, I can't really describe it, the taste. It's just one of those things I guess you have to try.
Everybody's going to go out there and try beet juice now. That's the thing the podcast is going to get everybody going for. All right, we'll talk a little bit about this Orlando game. Obviously, LA Galaxy coming off a very important, I think in a confidence way, a win over the Montreal Impact, a 2-0 win. Obviously, Montreal goes down to 10 men at the end of the first half, but still a game that I felt that you guys controlled well, and the defense got a shutout. What do you have to do against Orlando, knowing that they're unbeaten at home? This is a team that's on a sort of a roll right now. They've gotten 9 points out of 3 games that they've played at their new stadium. So what kind of mindset do you have to take in there, and what do you have to do to be successful against Orlando?
I think we got to go in there with a shutout mentality and just be hard to play against, make it hard for them to do the little things right.
And, you know, like I said, your first long road trip, you know, what is it with Orlando, and in particular, you think that you're going to have to, that's going to be the hardest thing that you're going to have to overcome on this road trip in terms of, you know, physicality, you know, mental preparedness? What's the most important part to this Orlando game?
I think definitely rest. I think it's a long plane ride that we get a good night's sleep the night after and just make sure that we're fueled up.
Yeah,
I think that'll be a important role.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be good. Again, the LA Galaxy face off against Orlando City at noon on Fox, nationally televised Fox and Fox Deportes. Nate, certainly want to thank you for stopping by. We wish you all the best, and hopefully we'll have you on the podcast again very soon. All right, buddy?
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. There we go. There's Nate Smith, LA Galaxy defender. Nate Smith on the show. Always great to have him there. All right, we're going to take a break. Whenever we get back, more LA Galaxy talk right here on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Don't go anywhere. Hey, this is Chris.
This is Eddie.
This is Jason.
And we're from Back Pocket Memory, and you're listening to Corner of the Galaxy.
Recording from COG Studios and not their mom's basement, it's Corner of the Galaxy.
Welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Josh Gessman back here with you once again. And if you were lucky enough to be listening to our live show, you missed out on the interview. And I apologize for that. But always great to hear from Nathan Smith. We appreciate him coming on, and thank you to the LA Galaxy for getting that done. And we'll make sure that we fix all those things for the next live show in case you want to tune in. All right, we still got a bunch to talk about, though, as the LA Galaxy get ready to head on over to Orlando. As a matter of fact, we're recording on Thursday night. The LA Galaxy are already en route/landed in Orlando for this game. Head out a day early. They'll train on Friday with Orlando, or at Orlando, I should say, not with. They only play against them once. All right. And then they'll come back here after the game, and then there's a three-game homestand upcoming for your LA Galaxy. So an important game from the standpoint of the LA Galaxy need a good result, all right? They need a good result because all of this is momentum, and momentum carrying them forward into what realistically could be a very important stretch of games for the LA Galaxy, all right? You have three home games upcoming, and we're going to get to the schedule here in just a second. In fact, let's just hit it right now. The LA Galaxy, obviously, away to Orlando right now, then home on Sunday, April 23rd to the defending MLS Cup champion Seattle Sounders. Then Saturday, April 29th, they'll host the Philadelphia Union, the woeful Philadelphia Union right now. And then home on Saturday, May 6th, they'll face off against the Chicago Fire and Bastian Schweinsteiger. So some interesting games coming up. Three home games before they again take to the road and go all the way back across the country to play at Red Bull Arena to take on New York Red Bulls. All right, so that's the LA Galaxy schedule coming up here shortly. Let's get to some LA Galaxy news before we get to this Orlando game, all right? The big deal right now, or at least everything that we sort of already touched on, is goalkeeper Dan Kennedy has retired. You say, Josh, how can that possibly be a big deal? Because didn't you tell us about that, and haven't we been hearing about this for months? Years? Anything? It feels like it's been forever. Dan Kennedy has only played 115 minutes for the LA Galaxy since he was signed. He started opening day, got injured, and was replaced by Brian Rowe. And realistically, the LA Galaxy never looked back. Bruce Arena kept Brian Rowe in the fold there, and Dan Kennedy was sort of left out. There's an important part to this, which is that realistically, Dan Kennedy, being the professional that he is, gave way to the development of Brian Rowe and Clément Diop. And if that doesn't happen, if you're still now having to make your way past Dan Kennedy perhaps this year, if you're struggling to sort of find that backup and figure out who it is, you don't have two guys who are quote-unquote battling for a starting position and goalkeeper if Dan Kennedy's in the way with this, all right? Like I said, 115 total minutes for the LA Galaxy in three games. This is not a story for the LA Galaxy. Dan Kennedy had a great career. MLS should honor that career. The Galaxy give a nod to Dan Kennedy, and the guy is like one of those ridiculously nice guys. I love talking to him. He's smart. He sees the game well, obviously, as a goalkeeper. The Galaxy are lucky to have him, and they will keep him. All right, he will work mainly in the youth programming and development, but he also has other functions with the club. He'll also serve as the Galaxy English radio analyst on LAGalaxy.com. That's their YouTube radio broadcast, and LA Galaxy 2 broadcasts alongside Joe Tatino. So he's there. Why did it take so long to make this announcement? And it all had to come down to linguistics. If Dan Kennedy retires, technically speaking, he probably forfeits the rest of his money. And he was probably owed somewhere in the $180,000 range. He made $185,000 in 2016. Maybe the Galaxy got him to reduce the second year a little bit and that money came down, but more than likely, you know, the money could have gone up. At his age, I expect it probably stayed the same. So $185,000 in salary was a big chunk of the salary cap, quite honestly. And if you're not getting any production from it, then yet another hole in the LA Galaxy last year that just bled money. You had Robbie Keane, who was a designated player and, you know, was sitting on the bench to start the playoffs. You had Steven Gerrard, who was bleeding and hemorrhaging money for the LA Galaxy and sitting on the bench as well. You had Dan Kennedy also with 185, not in the same realm, but a real impact to the salary cap. I talked to somebody from the league. From my understanding in my discussions with this person, they said that basically the LA Galaxy should get salary cap relief from this. This is probably a structured buyout. This is probably a buyout of some way, and Dan Kennedy now has a job with the LA Galaxy that might pay him a bunch of money, maybe over this year, maybe over the next 3 or 4 years. Somebody joked, maybe he's now the highest paid, you know, player in the, or highest paid executive in the front office for the LA Galaxy. I don't know about that. But clearly, I mean, these are the deals that have to work. And if you're asking me, you know, Josh, could something like this work with Robbie Rogers as well? Yes, it could. And there's even some precedent for that as well. So, you know, the most important part, at least to LA Galaxy fans, and why you should know about Dan Kennedy retiring, one, to tell the guy thank you, obviously, for all his years in Major League Soccer, although he certainly didn't have an impact with the LA Galaxy. That's unfortunate, but it's because of the salary cap, and that's the interesting thing that happened. So it looks like the Galaxy will get that money back. Who knows if they've already been using it, or whether or not they'll actually be able to go out and use that money in the summertime. So that's the interesting thing there. I will talk talking about money. We'll transition straight over. Manchester United tickets went on sale for season ticket holders. They got a 50% discount, and thank God they did, because woohoo! Let me tell you, I don't need to tell you. You know this. You know I have season tickets in section 108, row E, seats 15, 14, 13, and 12. I will tell you right now that with the 50% discount, in order to buy my seats, it was $530. All right. That's a lot of money. Here's the thing though. More than likely this game's going to be a sellout because there's lots of people who can't wait to see Manchester United. I know for the real diehard LA Galaxy fans, sort of the last thing you want to do is go see the Galaxy play in a game that doesn't matter in the middle of the season. We've talked about this many times before. You know, realistically, I'd hope the LA Galaxy had moved past this. Manchester United is a big name. You can understand the draw. The LA Galaxy are trying to make this worth it for their for hosting this game in the stadium. You know, it's expensive. I don't know there's a way to defend it. It's expensive. It's a spectacle. It is supposed to be something that draws people who want to spend a whole bunch of money. I think if you're an LA Galaxy fan, and you bought your tickets and you want to sell them, you can go ahead and do that. You're certainly not going to hear any arguments from me. It's going to be interesting. I'm sure my tickets will go to somebody who doesn't like soccer all that much but knows about Manchester United. And maybe, hey, maybe you can convert some of those people into LA Galaxy fans whenever they go. Maybe not. Can't really tell anymore. I'll also touch some more on some Giovanni Dos Santos and Jonathan Dos Santos news. If you've been seeing Giovanni Dos Santos and his brother Jonathan tweeting out, Instagramming different things that are talking about being reunited, and you're really excited about the fact that you think that means that Giovanni Dos Santos and Jonathan Dos Santos are going to get back together, and this means that Jonathan Dos Santos is coming to the LA Galaxy, pump the brakes on that one. All right, pump the brakes. There's nothing. I don't see anything with this. This seems like it's a marketing ploy. This seems like some sort of app. This seems like something to do. If you notice, the LA Galaxy aren't doing anything with it. This is just Giovanni Dos Santos. Are you thinking that the LA Galaxy wouldn't be involved in, you know, hyping a player like this coming to their team? If apparently they've scooped everybody, because that's sort of what it is, right? They've clearly, if Jonathan Dos Santos is coming, then nobody knows about this, because I've been talking to a whole bunch of people. Then nobody knows about this except for Giovanni Dos Santos and Jonathan Dos Santos, and they've done a wonderful job at hiding it. So just relax on that one, all right? Quickly on LA Galaxy 2 news, LA Galaxy 2 lost to Phoenix Rising FC 2-1 in Arizona. If you've heard Phoenix Rising FC in the news as of recent, that's because Didier Drogba just announced that he's signing as an owner/player with Phoenix. He's going to try to help them push their MLS bid over the line and get an MLS team to Phoenix. An interesting turn of events, but that was the team the LA Galaxy 2 just lost to. Adonis Amaya was the lone goal scorer for LA Galaxy 2. That's really all there's not much to say. Listen, LA Galaxy 2 is going to struggle this year. We've already talked about it. They do have a home game coming up on Saturday that you'll want to be at. This is an easy one to get to, 7:30 p.m., so well after the LA Galaxy take on Orlando at 12 noon. You have plenty of time to recover. LA Galaxy 2 versus Seattle Sounders FC 2 at StubHub Center Track and Field Stadium. So please get your tickets there. Head on over. A lot of season ticket holders got those LA Galaxy 2 tickets included in that. All right, let's get to MLS standings. The LA Galaxy sits sixth in the Western Conference. 5 games played, 2 wins, 3 losses, 0 draws. They currently sit -1 in goal differential, having scored 7 goals and given up 8. They're 1-2-0 at home and 1-1 on the road. That'll be an interesting test as they go up against the second in the East, Orlando City. Orlando City almost sits, I think they do, they just sit behind a couple teams in terms of points per game. a huge number of points actually per game for them, 2.25 points per game. They've played four games, one less. They are unbeaten at home, 3-0, and we're going to talk about that game coming up in just a little bit, but I wanted to also get to your MLS games to watch. We have the Philadelphia Union, who the LA Galaxy will be playing in 2 weeks. They will kick off on Friday night. This is an ESPN game. New York City FC travels to Philadelphia to take it on. Philadelphia has been woeful. New York City realistically should go in there and, you know, run right over them, but it's MLS. New York City FC is on the road, so that might be one you want to watch, and I always have you watch the other LA Galaxy opponent that's coming up just in a week after the Orlando game is the Seattle Sounders, and they are away to, I believe, the Vancouver Whitecaps, all right? This game also on, I believe, it may not be on ESPN. You might have to check, take a look on that one, but keep your eyes peeled for that one as well. So watch Seattle Sounders and watch the Philadelphia Union and see how they do, so that way you can start scouting the competition. If you want to get in your phone calls, now is the time. 949-734-4217. 949-734-4217. Phone lines are open here for about the next 10 or 12 minutes as we get ready to take on this Orlando City team. It's going to be an interesting game. Again, we talked about Orlando City making a fortress out of Orlando City Field. Their new stadium holds 25,500 people. Natural grass surface. Thank God, not playing on the turf anymore. So the LA Galaxy will travel there again, 2,200 miles. This game kicks off at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Coverage might start at 11:30. The game is on mainstream Fox. That's right, a mainstream Fox broadcast. So don't go looking for Fox Sports. This one's on the main channel of Fox and Fox Deportes. So look for that game there. That's where you can find it. It's going to be very, very interesting with Orlando City, who again hasn't lost, 3-0. They have basically scored four goals, allowed one in their time so far in 2017. They're depending on Kyle Larin right now because Kaká is injured. Larin has three goals, the same as Alessandrini. So they've been doing the things they've needed to do. They've looked good under Jason Christ so far to start the season. Like I said, second place in the Eastern Conference. It's going to be really interesting to see, you know, who even starts in this game. There's a suspension for Orlando City in Matias Perez Garcia, MPG, who came over from San Jose. You remember that name. MPG will be suspended for this game. He won't be there. Nocerino is going to, looks like he's going to be injured. He left the last game, which was a 1-0 win over the New York Red Bulls, I believe in the 17th minute or something like that. Yeah, 17th minute. And the guy who came in for him, Servando Carrasco, you know, did a good job, actually scored the goal, assisted by Will Johnson in that game. So Orlando living a little dangerously. I think New York Red Bulls probably had the better of this game, although in the end, it seemed like it was actually a pretty comfortable game overall. Look for Luis Gil, newly signed Luis Gil with Orlando City. He was a substitute for MPG in this game. So Luis Gil of Real Salt Lake reuniting with Jason Christ in Orlando, looking to sort of fill that role, and we'll see how the chemistry is in that midfield and realistically what the LA Galaxy can do to create some turnovers, all right? Orlando, you look back at their last six games, it's always impressive. You know, they've only played four games, so you have to go back two, but they have five wins and one loss. The LA Galaxy sort of flipped that with two wins and four losses, all right? Everybody remembers the last time these two teams met. In fact, you probably remember the last two times these two teams met. In their history, they've only played twice. You would go last year was a 4-2 win for the LA Galaxy over Orlando. This was at StubHub Center. Giovanni Dos Santos scored two goals. Robbie Keane had a goal, and Alan Gordon had a goal. It was a game the LA Galaxy realistically played very well in, and it was one of those games where they piled on the goals and played really well. You have to go back to 2015. The LA Galaxy is defending MLS Cup champions, traveled to Orlando, played at the old Orange Bowl, right? I believe that's what it was called, although it has a different name then, and, you know, granted, they're out of there now. But you remember that game, right? That was the 4-0 beating that the defending MLS Cup champ LA Galaxy took at the hand of startup Orlando City. That was the game that realistically saw Tommy Meyer, blast from the past Tommy Meyer, have one of the worst games I've ever seen a defender have quite honestly. And some of it wasn't even his fault. It just got unlucky towards the end. I think there were two balls that deflected off him that went into the goal. He got beaten, I believe, for the other two. So it was just horrible. And if you look, Tommy Meyer, realistically, not in MLS since then. That was sort of the end of the MLS career. He's down with the Swope Park Rangers now, the USL team of Sporting KC. So if you remember that game, and realistically how you could just throw it away and not worry about it, because Bruce Arena was in charge and everything will be okay, that was that game, 4-0 blowout. For the LA Galaxy and who we expect to start, listen, let's not get cute. Let's not say, hey, who could we possibly start in this game? Let's not switch things around. I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening at all. All right. The LA Galaxy right now will start pretty much everybody who started last week. And I'm not sure I see a drastic reason to change anything. Going to need lots of energy against this Orlando City team. Joao Pedro is probably the guy to do it. Although, again, this is a litmus test for him. You're only going to be able to give him so much room to grow and to adjust and to get onto this team and understand what he needs to do. I have to think the soccer IQ is there and that we just haven't been seeing it. I think that if you're an LA Galaxy fan, you pray that that's the case. All right, because there's going to be lots of players on this Orlando City team who are capable of tearing, you know, Joao Pedro apart in that midfield. Jermaine Jones is going to have to play with energy for 90 minutes. I mean, we're getting to the point now where five games into the sixth game for the LA Galaxy, is what is the durability of somebody like Jermaine Jones? 35 years old, he seems to have lived up to all the hype and everything that he's needed to so far. He really had a good game against Montreal. He has been fairly stable in that center, knowing that Joao Pedro hasn't been the best backstop for him. All of those things are true. You're going to see that. You're going to see Jossie Zardes starting. You're going to see Giovanni Dos Santos underneath Jossie Zardes. Emmanuel Boateng. Roman Alessandrini in this lineup. The back line stays unchanged for the last game with Smith and Steres, Van Damme, and Ashley Cole. All right, and Diop's going to be in goal. All right, and this is the game that realistically we now have to start saying who the number one goalkeeper is for the LA Galaxy. And after this game, if Diop survives it and doesn't make any giant mistakes and doesn't again put us into question of whether or not Brian Rowe should start, Clément Diop could be the number one goalkeeper for the LA Galaxy. It's that simple. All right? We have to learn from what Cardinoff was trying to teach us. And what he's trying to teach us so far is that he prefers Diop over Brian Rowe. Had the perfect chance to bench Diop last game, didn't do it. Diop had a good game, realistically didn't get tested. Will we see more from Diop in this game against Orlando? Again, 12 p.m. kickoff time, Fox Deportes. A huge game for the LA Galaxy. Lots of players really need to step up. This is the springboard. This is the positive result you need on the road in order to come back and have a three-game homestand and realistically be able to climb all the way up the standings and be first in the Western Conference in, at the end of the next, you know, 4 weeks. Seriously, that should be the goal right now. The LA Galaxy can't afford to drop points at home anymore, so get a point on the road. Realistically, a good draw on the road sets them up perfectly. You cannot get blown out in this game. The mental attitude, the mental, you know, frailty of this team right now depends on them continuing the performance like they had against Montreal. They need to have a good result. All right? They need to have a good result. They come out, if they get blown out of the water and then they have to take on the defending MLS Cup chance, regardless of the fact Seattle started slow. If they have to do that and then they lose that game to Seattle, what happens? All that pressure that they relieved in Montreal is right back on top of them again. Going to have to face a poor Philadelphia Union team. All right? Philadelphia traveling all the way across country. That should be a mandatory 3 points. There's not even a question in that. What happens if they falter there? This is the important stuff. It's all like dominoes right now. It's all building off the last performance. So for the LA Galaxy, if they get a good draw, right? You don't want to be winning 2-1 and then have Orlando come back and tie it 2-2, right? That's a bad draw. That's a bad mental image that you take into Seattle, right? You get a good draw on the road against Orlando. Heck, you steal a game. You get 3 points against Orlando. Makes up for one of those losses that you had at home. You come home, you now feeling good about going against Seattle. You feel good about facing off against Philadelphia. You feel good about taking on Chicago before you have to travel back across the country for New York. All right? All about momentum. One game at a time, but understand what that sets the LA Galaxy up for in the next game. And this game ends up being a very important game in terms of their mental health. All right? And also probably the fans. And the reporters who have to cover it as well, it's always nice to have some mental clarity, understand what the team is trying to do here, and seeing them actually do it. All right? That's it. It's simple. LA Galaxy versus Orlando City. 12 p.m. kickoff, 11:30 a.m., I believe they might start that coverage, so make sure you pay attention. And who knows, kickoff maybe like at 12:45. You know how that goes. But anyway, make sure you check that out. And for all of you traveling to Orlando, fly safe. We'll see you whenever you get back. And, of course, then the LA Galaxy start their 3-game homestand. Lots of fun stuff. Lots of good things coming our way here. As LA Galaxy fans, you are being set up for a wonderful next 3 weeks. After this game, LA Galaxy home 3 weeks in a row. Tell all your friends that you got stuff to do over the weekends. LA Galaxy games are going to be very important. And we'll see what they can do with this homestand. A good time to have it. Need to get something out of it. All right. I think that about does it. Maybe ran a little long today, maybe not. Of course, we're glad Nathan Smith could join us here on the show. And, of course, we thank all of you for joining us as well. LA Galaxy, Orlando City on Saturday, 12 p.m. kickoff time. All right? For everybody here at Corner of the Galaxy, I'm Josh Gessman. You've been listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. And we will catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Galaxy Podcast. And be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everybody.